The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Hello, this is Dane Wigginton with the weekly edition of Geoengineering Watch Radio's Global Alert News. This is for the week of October 15th, 2016. The show is broadcast again on KQMS throughout Northern California on channels 1670 AM, 99.3 FM, 105.7 FM. This is a commercial-free news hour paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. Recordings of this show can be found at the geoengineeringwatch.org website under the radio section and at KQMS under the archives. This show is also broadcast on Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on the PRN Radio Network. This is a very extensive network with a large reach. They've picked up the show, showing it commercial-free. For those who want to call in on a podcast phone number for that show anytime, you can call in at 1-701, area code 701-719-0991. That's 701-719-0991. That's for the broadcast on the PRN Radio Network. Announcements. Before we get to a lot of hard-hitting stories, there's far too many to keep up with every week. All I can do is try to point out the largest dots in the equation so we keep connecting those so we have some sort of compass heading as to where we're heading and how we change course. Announcements, though. Today, Alzheimer's event and walk, the weather may interfere with that. But on the Alzheimer's organization, imperative people investigate that organization and what they're really about. Just like the Cancer Foundation and all the rest, they're simply front groups. In the case of the Alzheimer's organization, they have members from the Aluminum Foundation sitting on their boards, and that's why they staunchly deny any connection between aluminum exposure and Alzheimer's. How can that be when we have peer-reviewed study to say it's happening? So these organizations are extremely hypocritical, and they give people the illusion that they're somehow helping this ailment when all they're doing is covering it up. It's imperative you investigate the true nature of these organizations that claim to be addressing a dire issue but yet are doing nothing in the real picture for this. Now, later today, 3 o'clock, Reading Library, a free film viewing will be held starting at 3 o'clock. And this is an extremely important viewing because it outlines the total propaganda machine that is our mainstream media. And mainstream media covers a lot more than just CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. Much, much more are funded by these main media corporations that are so completely and totally feeding us disinformation at this point, there is little semblance of the truth in anything they say. Nothing but giant, massive weapons of mass distraction, period. So this is an important film viewing. We should have copies of the documentary Silent Epidemic about the vaccinations, commercial copies to hand out free. They should be available at that viewing, assuming they get shipped and collected in time today to be there, and at Orchard Nutrition as well. So we'll have also free copies of 9/11, Architects and Engineers for Truth to hand out, and Climate Engineering DVDs, all free materials. We simply ask that people help us to sound the alarm, help us to get the word out while it still matters. Another FYI, I'll post a very important data set on Monday that will soundly refute the recent attempts by mainstream media to marginalize the climate engineering reality. Stay tuned for this upcoming post. It's very, very important, very powerful tool to prove academia is unwilling, the climate science community is unwilling to deny the climate engineering reality. Look for that on Monday. What I'll try to cover in this installment of Global Alert News, in summary, I'll always continue to plug in recent breaking headlines and events from the front lines of the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us all. I know many don't want to hear that, but it's a fact of the matter. If we don't face this fact, we have no chance of dealing with it. I'll always try to connect the dots in a manner to repeatedly make this point. As the biosphere and Earth's natural resources and Earth's life support systems are systematically plundered past the point of no return, the dominoes must then fall. The illusion of our current reality, our current paradigm, must then collapse. This is the programmed, completely false perception that the human race could perpetually grow and expand on a finite planet with finite resources. What else must then shatter as Earth's climate, environment, and life support systems fail? The programmed perception that the military-industrial juggernaut of total decimation and destruction could be left to its own devices without unimaginable consequences. Because that's exactly where we're at, as Eisenhower warned so long ago. The publicly programmed delusion that the masses could live endless lives of personal material pursuits, having, in general, no regard for the bigger picture or their responsibility toward it, without triggering the total collapse of society and the human race, and indeed life on Earth. It's a programmed perception that we could live in such a paradigm, and it's not reality, it's never been reality, and we're about to find out the hard way that this was always a lie, always a delusion. Let's ask, before I get to headlines and breaking stories, why is the world and humanity in such a dismal state? Again, because, sadly, the guiding compass on which most individuals have unfortunately based their ideology and decisions is not morality, honesty, or virtue, but rather whatever they imagine to be for their own short-term benefit. Unless or until this primitive mindset changes, there will be no hope for the human race. And many people have convinced themselves that if only we had uncorrupt rulers, everything would be fine. But why do we have corrupt rulers? Because too many people have chosen not to look at facts, to be fed a pack of lies from mainstream media sources, propaganda, delusion, and they want to accept this because they want to go about the sort of life I just described. They don't want reality. That's how it gets this bad. So it's not just that we have criminal, psychopathic rulers, but we have a population that so far has wanted to remain hopelessly out to lunch. That has to change if we're to have any hope of changing course. On that note, is there any hope of salvaging Earth's ability to support life? That remains to be seen. On the current course of human insanity and destruction, mathematically speaking, the answer is no. If the masses continue to ignore reality and continue to actively and or passively support the criminal cabal that's masquerading as our government and other governments around the globe, the answer is no. Our collective fate depends on what we do or what we don't do. This is the unvarnished truth. Here's a quote from an icon of human perspective, insight, and wisdom, an individual that looked through a very clear lens and whose writings I've always treasured. Here's the quote. How does it become a man to behave towards the American government today? I answer that he cannot, without disgrace, be associated with it. That's from Henry David Thoreau, from so long ago. He saw through a clear lens, and that's how long the train has been off the rails, with a completely criminal government that's gotten more powerful with each passing year, with each passing decade. Henry David Thoreau saw it from so very long ago, over a century and a half ago. And another thing Thoreau said, and I've repeated it a number of times, but I want to repeat it again. Thank God men cannot fly, lest they would lay waste to the skies they have done to the earth. And indeed, what has happened? For any who are awake enough to look up and see the atrocities that are going on in our skies. If you're still living in the carefully constructed power structure propaganda of American exceptionalism, you're looking through the wrong end of the telescope, and you're not living in reality. And our military brothers and sisters, to you, though your motives, again, may be honorable, it's your actions that matter. What are you a part of if you're simply a paid mercenary for the power structure? Whom are you really serving? Who did you intend to serve? The American population or the criminal corporate cabal that's pretending to be our government? And no matter who's elected, here's a headline. I'll read this verbatim. No matter who is elected, surveillance powers and programs are unlikely to be scaled back. Does anybody care that we're all being surveilled? Why are we being surveilled? Because our government is, again, a criminal entity, and they need to know what everyone's doing. When people ask, for example, with climate engineering, why aren't people in the military and other arenas lining up to blow the whistle on these programs? Because they all know they're being surveilled, all of them. I had another contact in the last week from another military person who I know is who he claims to be, who wanted to discuss this issue and how to get materials to share with other military people, and now that contact has also gone dead. Something's going on. It happens over and over and over. Whenever a spot fire starts to burn, whenever anybody reaches out like that, that fire gets stomped out because everyone's being watched. And yet we live with a population that is still trying to convince themselves of American exceptionalism. I just heard Hillary Clinton is blowing that whistle again. And who is she to blow that whistle, by the way? She's certainly nothing more than a proven criminal. And I'm sorry, Donald Trump is, I don't know what to describe him as. He's an idiot. The only good thing I can say about Donald Trump is that clearly the power structure does not want him in the office of president. Other than that, Trump has quite a trail of debris behind him, and he certainly has no grasp for the bigger picture in countless ways. Hillary Clinton, clearly a criminal. I would ask also, why do we even participate in such a system that provides us with such an incredibly poor choice of candidates? The system is rigged. It has been rigged for so very long. Why do people still participate in a criminal system that's completely orchestrated? If we truly wanted to change directions, we would refuse to participate in such a system at all. Because by participating, we legitimize it. And it does not deserve to be legitimized. It's completely orchestrated. About our criminal government and the chaos they're causing, let's start with a weather warfare update. In regard to the global climate engineering assault, it's critical to remember this. It's not just the U.S. government involved with the insanity that's occurring in our skies. Rather, all the major powers are collaborating, colluding, and cooperating in regard to the ongoing geoengineering insanity. No matter what the other geopolitical conflicts are, all the major powers are participating in the climate engineering insanity, each for their own reasons, each against the interests of their own populations and the planet as a whole. When weather forecasters talk about the weather only being a result of, quote, Mother Nature, they're either completely unqualified for the profession they claim to be an expert in, or they are lying. You can choose which it is. On a Matthew update, as I stated, would be the likelihood 4 days, 5 days before Matthew swept along U.S. coasts, I stated that it would be likely that they would hold Matthew from making a significant landfall, and that's exactly what happened. I'm not stating Matthew didn't do significant damage with flooding. It did. But it would have been much more cataclysmic had it made a landfall as a major hurricane, which it did not. It made a landfall as the minimum requirement for a hurricane, 75 miles an hour. And is that a coincidence that the last hurricane that hit Florida about a month ago was also at the bare minimum for a hurricane classification? Is that a coincidence? So that people can think, oh, hurricanes are hitting us too, not just the rest of the world. Two bare minimum statistical hurricanes that made landfall, did significant damage with flooding, I grant, but how much worse could it have been? For those who don't think the U.S. government has the largest weather modification mechanism of all, and why wouldn't they? Our military is as big as the next 10 militaries combined. How could we not have the largest system? And we're certainly the ones directing other nations globally because we're the ones with the big hammer. And we lower that hammer routinely on any nation that doesn't go along with what we want. And that's not exceptionalism, by the way. Might doesn't make right. Nothing exceptional about that. That's simply barbarism. It's barbaric. That's a more correct term. So we have the hurricane drought continuing in the U.S. while other Western Pacific nations are being slaughtered with hurricanes, major hurricanes, over and over and over. This is not a coincidence. On that note, I've spoken in previous shows about the leader of the Philippines wanting to eject the U.S. from that nation. I'll get to more on that story in a moment. But is it a coincidence now that Cyclone Karen, again, aimed at the Philippines, doing damage there, over and over, as countries choose to no longer cooperate with the U.S. dictates, things seem to happen to them. 2011, Thailand refused the U.S. an airbase that they knew was for climate modification. What happened to Thailand in 2011? They were slaughtered with record flooding, wiped out. Pakistan, 2010, began to stop cooperating with the U.S. What happened to Pakistan immediately afterward? 20% of their country was put underwater, devastating floods. This is not a coincidence. And for those who think the climate system cannot be manipulated in this way, you simply haven't done your research. You're simply operating on preconceptions that are not based in fact. Again, to reiterate, more super typhoons slamming nations in the Western Pacific while the record major hurricane landfalls for the U.S. don't happen again and again and again. Even when predicted, even when hyped, they don't happen. And I want to state for the record that those who feel interfering with Earth's natural processes, and this cyclone Matthew absolutely appears to have been steered, as we saw with Hurricane Sandy. How did they know 7 days ahead of time that Hurricane Sandy would make an unprecedented 90-degree westerly turn? How could they know that 7 days ahead of time when they can't even predict the night before what a hurricane will do? Because it's being manipulated. So we had Matthew manipulated into a position and steered. And as far as the strength of the hurricanes go, there are many people in the anti-geoengineering community that have convinced themselves hurricanes wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for geoengineering. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. The planet is in total meltdown. The oceans are scaldingly hot. With no climate intervention, we would have massive hurricanes because the planet's trying to cool itself, and it must be allowed to cool itself or we will end up like Venus. So for those who think interfering with Earth's natural mechanisms, its life support systems to prevent hurricanes is a good thing, think again, because when our planet resembles Venus, you won't feel that way any longer. You can only get a bad result by interfering with Earth's natural systems, period. Here's a headline related to weather. I want to dissect this, though. World needs $90 trillion in infrastructure overhaul to avoid climate disaster, study finds. People read these. Some people don't believe it at all. And other people think we can fix it all. If we just spend more money, if we just build more things, we can fix it all. What good would that $90 trillion in infrastructure do, again, when our planet turns into Venus? And every time we put more infrastructure in, we build more things, we loot, pillage, and plunder the planet to a larger degree, we fuel the problem. How can fueling the problem help to put the fire out? It's an oxymoron. And we see lots of headlines like this because people want to believe that. They want to believe the futuristic movies they've seen where we're all flying around in hovercrafts and the environment's still perfectly intact and everything's wonderful. It's delusion. It's total delusion. $90 trillion or $900 trillion won't fix what's wrong with the planet. It will only harm it further. The delusions in these headlines need to be seen through. This report by a Global Commission on the Economy and Climate says the world needs urgent shift away from carbon-heavy infrastructure over the next 15 years. Now, we don't have 15 years. Let me make that perfectly clear. On the current course, we likely don't have 5 years, maybe much less than that, before some major links in the chain start dropping out. We're about at World War III right now, so when you see a headline that indicates we only have 15 years to take action, that's total delusion as well. How long have we been looking at those headlines? Such and such will happen by the end of the 21st century. On the current course, the planet will look like Venus. Mathematically speaking, if we stay on this course, a runaway greenhouse effect is further fueled. It's already underway right now. We will be long, long gone, all of us, long before we reach some of these dates that are listed in some of these headlines. An excerpt from that report about having 15 years to take action. A gigantic overhaul of the world's buildings, public transport, and energy infrastructure costing trillions of dollars is required if dangerous climate change is to be avoided, according to a major new report. Another totally bogus report. And a lot of people in the green communities want to believe all this, that we can all fix it with just a little more technology. How can you avoid dangerous climate change when the climate's already disintegrating? And we have climate engineering programs that are fueling that fire, another tech fix. We have the whole environmental green community refusing to even mention climate engineering. We live in an arena of delusion all the way around. We have people on the on the left denying climate engineering, but beating the drums on climate change. We have people on the right denying there's anything wrong with the environment, thinking that we can just cut the forest down and pump 100 million tons of CO2 in the atmosphere every day and everything will be fine. I want to lead this into, again, the global conflict that's happening and what's going on in other parts of the globe. And by the way, here's an important point, because I hear this from certain political arenas or certain arenas of certain ideology. Carbon is a wonderful thing. The more, the better. It makes everything grow faster. That's only true to a point. This is, again, where people don't look at facts. And in regard to heating of the planet, by the way, so I don't forget, photosynthesis stops at 104 degrees. Stops. As the planet warms, plants stop growing and they stop living. But what about carbon? Because how many times have we heard that carbon is essential for life, the more the better. Anybody who says otherwise is a green wacko nut. Well, that's not the case. And here's some facts in that regard. Here's the headline. We hit peak carbon in 2006. Trees and plants reached peak carbon 10 years ago. What does that mean? Let me elaborate. More atmospheric carbon dioxide in the 1960s meant greenery flourished, but our photosynthesizing friends have long had their fill, a new report reveals. From October 3rd, trees and plants have had enough. For the past few decades, they've obliged us by guzzling ever greater amounts of atmospheric carbon dioxide every year, but now they've gone on a diet. New data shows, quote, peak carbon when vegetation consumed its largest carbon dioxide feast occurred in 2006, and since then, the appetite has been decreasing rapidly. Quote from the report, it's the first evidence that we are tipping over the edge potentially towards runaway irreversible climate change. Now, here again, tipping over the edge indicates that we're still not there. That's not true. Mathematically speaking, the planet is long past the point of any return to the hospitable planet we've known in any time frame that matters. That's the key point. If we're talking about a 10 to 20 million year equilibrium period for the planet to recover, that doesn't really matter to many of us, does it? And based on past paleo events like the PETM event, the Paleocene Eocene thermal maximum 55 million years ago, methane mass extinction, massive greenhouse effect from methane release, we had about a 10 to 20 million year equilibrium period after that. And what's happening now is happening much, much faster than that event and appears to be much, much worse. So for reports like this to indicate that we might be in some trouble if we continue on this path, that's not true. We're already through the guardrail. We're heading to the bottom of the canyon. Now the question is, does anyone survive? Continuing from the report, James Curran, a former chief executive of the Scottish Environmental Protection Agency, was a co-author of the study published in the journal Weather. Continuing, the news has come as a shock. Previous estimates indicated that peak carbon would not be reached until 2030. Most people have never heard of peak carbon. They thought plants would just keep consuming carbon forever, that it would never be a problem. This is not reality, like so many other things that people believe that are not reality. From the report, instead, the new data reveals that trees and plants are already 10 years beyond peak carbon. In 2014 alone, the shortfall in carbon absorption was equivalent to a year's worth of human-produced emissions from China. That's a lot of emissions. That's how much less emissions plants are now absorbing, because they can no longer absorb that much carbon. There are many factors that allow a plant to absorb carbon, and trace minerals in the soil are one, temperatures are another. There's many factors. So the notion that plants will just keep thriving on our rapidly polluted planet is a delusion. Continuing from the report, the Mauna Loa data, that's where they measure CO2, revealed carbon dioxide dips were deeper through the 60s and early 70s as the Northern Hemisphere plants flourished in a rising carbon dioxide world. But beyond the 1970s, that rate slowed, reaching a peak of in 2006 and declining thereafter. Exactly why plants and trees lost their appetite so soon is not yet known, but Curran believes it is likely linked to stresses associated with global warming and drought and heat and fires. Now, let's stop there for a moment. They don't know why these plants stopped uptaking carbon. Some of it's for the reasons already described. They can only uptake a certain amount of carbon based on certain conditions. Soil, trace minerals, and the temperatures, two of those factors. But what's another massive factor? We saw massive increases in climate engineering during those years, massive increases. So we're blocking the sun, we're shredding the ozone layer, so now we have less direct sunlight to be photosynthesized. We have a destroyed ozone layer, so we have massive UV radiation cooking those plants. We have bioavailable aluminum contaminating the soils, affecting the root systems and thus the ability to uptake nutrients in those plants. So we have the geoengineering elephant in the room continuously being ignored by the climate science community. They just can't figure out why so much of the sun is blocked. They can't figure out why the rain cycle is so disrupted. They can't figure out why nothing is growing. We live in an absolute Orwellian society in which unimaginably obvious activities can be taking place, none greater than those in our skies above, and we have the entirety of academia showing no courage, and I grant that there is great risk in them speaking out, but how much risk is there in them not speaking out when the entire ship is going down? And why do many of my shows focus so much on the environment and on the climate? Because without those two elements functioning, we're done. It's game over. I don't care what the GDP is or the latest growth forecast. You can't live on a planet that doesn't support life. And we have the majority of the population still arranging deck chairs on the Titanic with no clue that when the trees die, we die. When the bees die, we die. When the oceans die, we die. How simple is that? No environment, no people, no life, game over. Very simple. That's why I focus so much on the state of the biosphere and the greatest single threat against the biosphere, which is climate engineering. On that note, I posted today the film trailer for a new documentary that's being done by a man named Walter Schmidt. I've grown to have great respect for Walter. He has earned my respect. Let me say it in that manner. He has poured everything into making this documentary titled No One Gets Out Alive. View the film trailer, and I've seen the entire film. And it is very thorough, very accurate, and very compelling, and covers climate engineering and other threats that relate to the fact that we are heading toward immediate near-term extinction. This film will not be released to the public until 2017, but you can see the trailer now, and it will be at film festivals soon. We want to help assist Walter in getting that film there. So I encourage support for that film and support for Walter. He's poured a tremendous amount of work and energy into this film because he cares for the common good. So we're faced with an environment that's failing, with temperatures that are rising rapidly, with UV radiation that's off the scale. And by the way, as I've mentioned in previous shows, I'm working directly with a 40-year aeronautics engineer, former NASA employee. He's doing some UV metering for us, has already done some. He's extremely alarmed. We'll publicize something from him soon because we're seeing massive levels, not just of UVB, which I've outlined before. We're seeing UVB levels that as much as 1,000% higher than we're being told. We're seeing massive levels of UVC radiation. UVC, we're told, stops 100,000 feet up in the atmosphere. No longer. We're getting massive levels on the surface, and UVC is the final spectrum of UV radiation before you hit X-ray. I think everyone knows how harmful X-ray is for you. UVC is very close to that. It's used to sterilize labs, to kill anything alive in a lab. And now it's hitting us, and we're not being told. We're back to the biosphere not supporting life if we stay on this path. And what's the single greatest source of ozone layer destruction? Climate engineering. Search climate engineering will destroy the ozone layer. And you'll find a lot of data, not just from geoengineeringwatch.org, but from science sources that admit if they climate engineered, it would destroy the ozone layer. But since the climate science community is mired in denial, deception, and lies, they won't admit to climate engineering and won't admit what's destroying the ozone layer. So when the sun feels incredibly hot in your skin, guess what? It's because it is. It's not your imagination. Final statements from this report on the plants no longer absorbing CO2, and of course, a climate science group that can't figure out some of the major reasons why. Quote from the report, "There will come a point at which plants and trees stop soaking up any carbon dioxide, and then the biosphere transitions into an emitter." It's already happening. Boreal forests are already becoming a carbon source and not a carbon sink. They're not growing. And I can say that in my own forest right here that I've witnessed an unimaginable transition over the last 15 years in the spring when all the fir trees put their green tufts of new growth out. It's not happening anymore. All the trees are going to cone, the ones that are still alive. Many are dead already. They go to cone because they're trying to protect their DNA. They're trying to propagate their DNA. So when you have 90% or 95% of the trees in the forest going to cone, they think they're going to die. And indeed, many of them are already. Final statement from this report. Then, even if we stop all man-made emissions, the planet itself goes on emitting and climate change is irreversible. We're already there. Our planet will not be the same in any time frame that matters. We've already passed that point. Now what remains is, can we salvage the planet's life support systems? And what happens when the planet and the biosphere implodes? The power structure becomes ever more desperate. Let's get to that now again with the latest headlines. This is not a regurgitation of previous shows. It's the latest headlines to further and continuously back up what I've said over and over and over until people understand this and get it and start to help us in the fight for the greater good. Because knowing this data doesn't help. If you're not getting up off the bench and doing something about it, which is the only way to find solace, by the way, that's the only form of solace you'll find in a disintegrating world, is knowing that you are doing something for the common good and not just sitting on the bench and warming your backside. You can't help anything that way. We have to actually engage in the fight for the common good, and that starts with a critical mass of awareness. And until we reach a critical mass of awareness, we're spinning our wheels, because we have to overturn the sources of propaganda that are completely programming the American population and keeping them complacent. We must wake them up. We must. Now, is any major media source telling us the truth? Certainly not the corporate media, but what about people like Amy Goodman on the far left, or Glenn Beck on the far right? Let's start with Amy Goodman. And I've met her twice, and not a pleasant experience, as I've shared before. I don't care for Amy Goodman, and I know she is worshipped by many on the left, but unjustifiably worshipped. So I watched Amy Goodman yesterday in a dissemination blow her own horn, so to speak. She went to the protest on the oil pipeline and has now got an arrest warrant for her, and she's really proud of that, I think. And she went on and on yesterday about how important it is to have completely independent media, i.e. insinuating herself, and that without that, the people can't really know what's going on. Well, let me give you a couple of factoids on Amy Goodman. She's supported by the Ford Foundation. I know people on her staff, or that were on her staff, and she's told what she can talk about and what she can't. And 9/11 and climate engineering are two things she can't talk about. But she's fine with that, because she's got her celebrity status, she's got her pack of worshipers, and her attitude is this, and I know this firsthand: at least I'm getting most of the truth out. Well, guess what, Amy? A boat doesn't float when it's mostly watertight. As I've said in the past, it sinks. And Amy is not being honest. She's the epitome of hypocrisy. And if she's not telling her listeners the whole truth, then she's telling them a lie. There's either the whole truth or not the truth. And telling a half-truth is not the truth. And when you're omitting major issues, the most pivotal issues of all, like 9/11 that started the dominoes falling in the Middle East, 9/11 that was the license by which the completely out-of-control military-industrial complex was completely unleashed with the support of the American population, because the media was telling them over and over that they needed to be afraid, they needed to be fearful, they needed to back the military to go take over nations and steal the resources. Without 9/11, the American population would not have gone for that, but Amy won't talk about it. Climate engineering. That is ripping apart what's left of Earth's life support systems. And climate engineering is nothing less than weather warfare. It's nothing less than biological warfare, because we're breathing everything they spray, and Amy Goodman won't talk about it. So that's the far left. Now let's look at the far right, Glenn Beck. Is he telling the truth? Not hardly, not at all. And as I've said in previous shows, Glenn Beck is nothing more than an out-of-shape, apathetic-looking, multi-level marketer who's very, very impressed with himself, like Amy is. And I won't even talk about CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, because they are the epitome of the military-industrial corporate media complex, all of them. All of them leading us to the slaughter, and that's exactly where we're going, and we don't have much time. We do not have much time. And if you think the economy's better, if you think it's going to get better, here's some more headlines to back up everything I've stated. from this week, European banks cutting 20,000 jobs as ING joins Commerce Bank. 20,000 jobs. From that report, European banks are preparing a fresh round of bloodletting with some 20,000 jobs set to go as tougher rules and negative interest rates weigh on profits. How good can the global economy be when only two institutions are cutting 20,000 additional jobs? What about Volkswagens? They always sell, right? Here's another headline. Volkswagen to cut 2,500 jobs per year. Doesn't sound like things are getting much better at Volkswagen. How about HP Incorporated, Hewlett-Packard Incorporated? They're cutting 3,000 to 4,000 jobs. Doesn't sound too good in their arena, does it? What about metals like copper that are directly related to the formerly expanding economy? Here's a headline. Big trouble for copper. The breakdown of the industry has begun. It's not just the breakdown of the copper industry. It's the breakdown of industrialized society, which never had a future. It never had a future because you cannot continually expand on a finite planet with finite resources. And everybody I see, even in our Northern California city of Redding, driving around in their new cars that they bought again for nothing down, no payments, no interest, and they're using funds from their home, which they're using for an ATM because the privately owned Federal Reserve banks that print money with no basis are dropping interest rates to almost zero so people can use their house for an ATM because the houses have artificially inflated in value. And the party goes on for a little while, but the party's over. It's in its death throes right now. More headlines coming. I want to weave into again, collapsing biosphere, collapsing economy, much more dangerous and desperate power structure, and now more recent headlines from what that power structure is doing. Here's a headline. Scores dead after Saudi-led U.S.-backed coalition bombs Yemen funeral. We don't hear about that in mainstream media much, do we? Has anybody who watches mainstream media heard that there? From that report, the Saudi-led coalition, whose planes the U.S. continues to refuel and supply them to begin with, by the way, killed at least 90 people in Yemen on Saturday when airstrikes targeted a funeral hall in the capital of Sana'a. A funeral. What would Americans do? Where is the American exceptionalism here? We supplied Saudi these weapons that they're slaughtering innocent civilians with in Yemen. And by the way, you have the one of the richest countries in the world, Saudi Arabia, slaughtering the poorest, one of the poorest countries in the world, Yemen. And we don't hear anything about it here. And we're supplying the missiles. And as I reminded in the show 2 or 3 weeks ago, what Wolf Blitzer, who's nothing more than a paid liar for mainstream media, former lobbyist for AIPAC, Wolf Blitzer challenged Rand Paul when Rand Paul tried to bring to light that we are illegally selling a brutal dictatorship, Saudi Arabia, hundreds of billions of dollars in weapons. What did Wolf Blitzer say to Rand Paul? He said, "Aren't you worried about the jobs that we'll lose if we don't sell them weapons?" That's what it's about. That's what the military-industrial complex is about. It's far past time for the American population to wake up to that fact. And what happens when they don't have enough conflict to keep the wheels turning and the wheels are falling off the former paradigm? The economy, the environment's imploding, the military-industrial complex will desperately try to start another war. And that's exactly what they're doing. Do you remember the Gulf of Tonkin? Completely, historically proved, fabricated, false flag event to start the Vietnam War. What are they doing now? Does this sound familiar? Here's a headline. U.S. fires cruise missiles at Yemen coast, destroying radar sites. One of the poorest countries in the world, Saudi Arabia is already destroying. And why is the U.S. there? What are they doing? They're certainly not there to help the population because they're actually supplying the weapons to Saudi Arabia, who's slaughtering the population. I think some 10,000 civilians already killed. So we're there claiming that missiles are being fired at our ships, and that could be a catalyst to start World War III, along with Syria, along with other nations that the U.S. has been provoking. And I'm not stating, by the way, I want to make this really clear. I'm not saying other governments are benign around the globe. Certainly not China. Certainly not Russia. Not at all. They have their histories as well. And if they had the kind of power the U.S. has, perhaps they would be behaving exactly the same manner. Logic would say they would be. But the fact is, right now, it's the United States of America that is pushing on countless fronts to start global conflict. Another headline. Sounds like the first one, but it's not the same. U.S. fires cruise missiles into Yemen in serious escalation of American involvement in yet another pointless war. How many of these wars will the American public allow because they're still buying into the 9/11 lie that 9/11 was somehow done by an Arab, a diabetic Arab hiding in a cave in Afghanistan, somehow orchestrated this attack, outmaneuvered the American military, who couldn't seem to find jumbo jets flying around for an hour and a half over protected airspace. We really think our military couldn't deal with that if they were allowed to? Anybody who thinks that doesn't think much of our military. I believe our military is the most powerful, capable in the world. How could you believe otherwise? And they couldn't find these aircraft, hijacked aircraft, flying around for so long? If you want to know about 9/11, if you want to know the truth, again, come to the film screening today, 3 o'clock, get a free DVD of 9/11, go home and sit down and watch it if you've never seen this. 2,700 architects and engineers stating on the record, risking their careers, their lives, to say the official story for 9/11, the U.S. government's official story, is utterly, totally, and completely impossible, and they have the scientific proof to back it up. So if you really care about your children's future, if you really care about the future of this country, you have an obligation to pick up one of those films, watch it, and share it with others. If you don't do that, you don't care. It's that simple. Another headline, suspected U.S. drone strike on ISIS kills 18 people in Afghanistan. Over and over and over and over. We see the oops airstrikes from the U.S. when the ceasefire was brokered in Syria. Immediately, the U.S. accidentally killed nearly 100 Syrian soldiers that were fighting ISIS. Why is the U.S. doing so many things over and over and over to fuel ISIS? We already know where ISIS came from. Been over that too many times. McCain standing with ISIS leaders. Because the U.S. and the military-industrial complex needs to have the American population thoroughly committed to and believing in a fight against some enemy somewhere, even if it's being spawned, fueled, and funded by our own government, in order to justify the military-industrial complex expansion and hegemonic power. Another headline, U.S.-Saudi terror in Yemen dwarfs ISIS attacks in Europe. From that report, why are two of the richest countries in the world, the United States and Saudi Arabia, engaged in unrelenting aggressive war against one of the poorest countries in the world, Yemen? The U.S.-Saudi-led war on Yemen started on March 26, 2015, with the Saudi coalition's aerial blitz using both high-explosive and outlawed cluster bombs. Cluster bombs that came from the U.S., by the way, internationally illegal, against a population with no air force or other effective air defense. U.S.-supported year of carnage has killed more than 6,000 people. No one knows for sure, by the way. Most of them civilians. The U.S.-Saudi criminal intervention in the Yemeni civil war was supposed to be quick and efficient. Remember the Iraq war? We're going to be in, we're going to be out, no problem. Tell that to the Iraqi people. The Iraqi war that was instigated, by the way, as I've been over in previous shows, and there was never any intent to leave. How long has that been going on? Iraq is in shambles. Every country that the U.S. intervenes in is in shambles, period. Yemen was supposed to be some quick, concise effort to. It's the public buys this over and over. The U.S. is supporting this against Saudi Arabia, who hangs their political dissenters from cranes after they behead them. Continuing from this report with U.S.-Saudi-led terror. From the start, the U.S. has helped plan the attacks, provided the intelligence, refueled attacking planes, and participated in the naval blockade, an act of war that has pushed Yemen's 26 million people to the brink of mass starvation. The American-Saudi genocidal war. Again, we're allies with Saudi Arabia. Brutal dictatorship. We don't hear about that here, do we? We don't hear at all about that. It has continued without significant protest around the world. No Yemeni Lives Matter movement, is there? We don't see that. How many Yemenis have been slaughtered? Over 10,000. And with almost no attention from any of those who will likely inherit this illegal war as the next commander-in-chief, none of the candidates, despite their tough talk about ISIS, seem to care that the Saudi military focus has shifted from fighting ISIS to killing Yemenis whose primary offense is to want to run their own country. No one in authority seems ready to address the possibility that one of the fundamental bad news actors in the Middle East is our longstanding ally, Saudi Arabia, and we're helping them. The Yemenis who want to run their own country are being obliterated by the U.S. supporting Saudi Arabia, who's creating the carnage. Now, let's revisit the American exceptionalism term. Is this American exceptionalism? Is this the America that Donald Trump is going to make great again? Is this the America that the lying criminal that is Hillary Clinton is going to somehow improve by her presidency? How can we possibly even submit to a system that would give us those two choices? And again, the only thing I can say positively for Donald Trump is clearly the power structure doesn't want him. And that's a point in his favor, but that's about the only point I can make. We should not participate in a system that is so horribly corrupt and gives such horrible choices. Another headline, WikiLeaks reveals how the U.S. aggressively pursued regime change in Syria, igniting a bloodbath. From that report, how long has this all been on the drawing board? I've been over that in previous shows many, many times. It matches with this headline exactly, going all the way back to Brzezinski, presidential advisor, laying out the grand chessboard for the toppling of the Eurasian countries. It's all being played out. It couldn't be more clear to anyone who bothers to investigate. Continuing from that report, how many countries has the U.S. already destabilized and toppled as part of the U.S. power structure's ongoing agenda of global hegemonic power? Plugs into everything I've said in so many previous shows. That's a brand new headline. And again, if that's American exceptionalism, I don't want to be a part of it. There's nothing honorable or moral about what's going on or what our military is being used for. I'm asking our military brothers and sisters to wake up. You're paid mercenaries. That's all. Another headline on that note, the legacy of United States interventionism. Interventionism. To put boots on the ground in countries all over the globe. How many other countries have military bases in our country? How about zero? Yet we have bases all over the globe. Troops all over the globe, 156 nations, U.S. boots on the ground, 156 nations. Now, other countries have had enough of this. Here's another headline to plug into recent headlines along these lines. Philippines President Duterte orders U.S. forces out after 65 years. Again, do not treat us like a doormat. Other countries have had enough, and the hurricane is now slaughtering the Philippines again that I mentioned earlier. Perhaps a coincidence. You can decide. From that report, the Philippines' bombastic President Rodrigo Duterte has ordered a halt to his nation's 65-year military alliance with the United States. The president, who was locked in a bitter war of words with the U.S., has taken steps to suspend joint military patrols, ordered American troops to leave the country. And we have people here in the military because they bought into the propaganda that believe, how could these ungrateful nations not want us there? Because they haven't seen the real truth. What's really going on in that nation and our country's part. And we could go, in the Philippines, we could go all the way back to Philippine intervention in the early 20th century that was nothing more than a slaughter that our country engaged in. I know a bit about that as well. Mark Twain covered that very well in some of his essays. He was appalled, but our media, being what they are, convinced the American population it was a justifiable slaughter. How long did we all buy into the Indian slaughtering as being such a wonderful thing? How many movies and how many bits of propaganda, just like the movies we see now that convince the American population that, as Sarah Palin would say, that their country is the shining city on the hill that's completely righteous in everything they do. It's simply a lie. Okay, it's a lie. I'm sorry if you don't like to hear that, but that's the fact. And think about this. The same people that run this country are spraying you like a lab rat. And that's the fact of the matter. And we have the lab test to prove it. And again, my post on Monday will be another step toward making clear that this is going on. Another headline. This is from Global Research. The United States, quote, a destroyer of nations. From that report, the stark truth is that the U.S. really has no intentions of helping to build strong states in the Middle East. Isn't that obvious by now? Report continues, or elsewhere. Rather, as we see time and time again in Yugoslavia, Sudan, Libya, Yemen, Syria, Somalia, Ukraine, the goal of U.S. foreign policy, whether stated or not, is increasingly and more aggressively the destruction and balkanization of independent states. However, it is important to recognize that this goal is not new. Of course it's not new. I've stated again, how many countries has the U.S. invaded, intervened with, occupied over the last 50 years? About 50. And we have countries like Iran that are being demonized. And I'm not siding with the Iranian government. I'm not siding with ideology of certain portions of the population there. I'm not siding with that. But I'm simply stating a fact. They've invaded nobody. In about 230 years, they've invaded nobody. And in that same 230 years, the United States has invaded and or occupied about 70 countries. And the climate engineering programs, again, for those people who want to blindly wave their flags and pretend that their government is behaving honorably in any way, shape, or form, remember every breath you take, if you're one of those flag-waving people that doesn't question anything, that never questions the official narrative, and again, if that's your form of patriotism, you're a coward. If you don't question the official narrative, if you don't investigate and look for the truth, you're a coward. And we have a lot of cowards in our society, especially in the media, an unimaginable amount of cowards that simply want to get their paychecks and pensions to go home. And if you want to learn more about exactly how criminal our media behavior is, come to the Reading Library today at 3 o'clock and view hard-hitting, fact-filled documentaries that will shock you, and pick up free DVDs to take home and share with others. If you really care, you'll take the time to educate yourself. So back to those who, again, blindly wave their flags. If you are really patriotic, if you really care about your children, find out what's going on and find out what your country has been involved with around the globe and is currently involved with. And they're more desperate than ever. And if you think they care about you, back to the climate engineering and back to the fact that we're all being sprayed by the largest climate intervention entity in the planet, which is the United States of America, even though all these other entities are involved, that's the largest. Think about that. If you're blindly waving your flag and pretending, and it is pretending, that your government is somehow benevolent and here for the common good. Think again. Countries are disintegrating around the globe. And here's a headline to back that up. Ethiopia declares a state of emergency as violent protests continue. From that report, protests have been raging for several months. Hundreds have been killed and thousands more have been arrested. This is only an example. We have several dozen countries right now descending into total chaos and anarchy or already there. And in many of those countries, guess who started that chaos? The intervention. The Hillary Clinton laughing with her... I can't even watch that film of her laughing and talking about Gaddafi and saying, "We came, we saw, he died," or whatever it was she said. Just like Madeleine Albright, when asked if she thought these sanctions against the innocent Iraqi populations were justified that killed a 500,000 children. U.S. sanctions against Iraq, who had nothing to do with 9/11, sanctions killed a 500,000 children, and a member of our government, Madeleine Albright, says she thought it was justified. And our population just simply seems to go along with that and pretend that they're exceptional in some way. Maybe in some way, but not in the way they imagine. Now, the masses today are near totally disconnected from reality. They're totally disconnected from what it takes for the planet to support life, totally disconnected from where their food comes from. They're disconnected from just how decimated the planet already is, and from just how close total global extinction is if we remain on the current course. The oceans are dying, the forests are dying, the atmosphere being torn apart from climate intervention programs that are, mathematically speaking, the single greatest assault against the web of life ever launched by the human race. Multiple countries involved, the U.S. certainly at the head of that because they're the largest military. But if the human race continues on this course, my attempt to continually sound the alarm on this is to try to wake people up to the fact that we all have to join together in the fight for the common good. Each of us holds infinitely more power to alter the equation that we face if we simply stand up and try. If we summon the courage to face the full, unvarnished truth and unwaveringly engage in the critical effort to expose and share it. If we don't properly prioritize our time and our energy. If we don't fully focus on the fight for the greater good. Soon. Much sooner than most can imagine, all will be lost. Make your voice heard while it still matters. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.